So in a short time, it appears that a lot has changed. As I said, when I left here 9 days ago to go spend Christmas with my family, well, Aiden and Rebecca were two single young adults. Now they're married. You guys have gotten older. We have a new month. It's a new year. There's some changes coming to our taxes, the government tells us. The weather has changed. We have a tradition each Christmas, and as most of you, if not all of you, know, our home province is Newfoundland, and there's an artist in Newfoundland by the name of Ed Roach, and he does beautiful paintings, and every year we buy a calendar from Ed Roach. We keep it in our home, pictures from the homeland, and every year when I take the old calendar out and put the new calendar in, I kind of think back to what has changed since I did it the last time, and I ask myself, what will change before I change this calendar again? My mother was a pastor's wife. My dad was a pastor. I grew up in the ministry, so to speak. And my mom would say every year when she put her Christmas decorations away, I would think, like, Mom, why are you packing them so neatly and so carefully? You know, we're just going to put them in the basement and take them again. And she'd say, well, when you're in the ministry, you never know where you're going to open up your Christmas decorations next year. And I guess that applies to all of us. Someone once said, correctly, the only constant in life is change. Change happens, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, but change happens. Change is inevitable. As we look forward to a new year, we don't know what will happen, but we can expect and almost be certain, we can be certain that some things will change. Change is inevitable, and mostly we don't like change. We're creatures of habit, and we don't like when things change. Someone also said, the only person who readily accepts change is a wet baby. And sometimes they don't accept it as quickly as we're learning. People try to avoid change. They try to stop it. They try to slow it. The cosmetic industry survives on people trying to slow change, physically at least, or at least the effects of it. It's a reality. A Greek philosopher whose name I'm definitely not going to pronounce correctly, Heraclitus, is credited with saying this: no man ever steps into the same river twice, for it is never the same river and is never the same man. The river flows, the banks of the river change, the person stepping into the river changes. We live in a changing, rapidly changing world. Styles change, norms change, values change, technology changes, and people change. And so in this fast-flowing river of change, what do we do? How do we prepare for change? Reject it? It's not going to do us any good. Wishing it wouldn't change? We've all had moments like that. We're in a good place. It's a happy time. We wish it wouldn't change, but we know it has to. Locking yourself away and refusing to accept it is not the answer. Botox is not the answer. For the most part, it just makes you look ridiculous. But what if there was something or someone that didn't change? Chances are you know where this is going. And yes, we need to go there. As we start a new year, I just want to leave you with a very simple reminder this morning that as we begin a new year with uncertainty and not knowing what January is going to hold, let alone what things are going to be like in July or next December, that as we begin a new year with so much uncertainty and so many things that we don't know and so many things that we can't control, I want to remind you, because I want to remind myself as well, that there is someone that we can anchor to. There is something that we can depend on that will not change. That even beyond someone who hasn't changed, what about if there was someone who couldn't? Not talking about the track record that we can depend on someone who up to this moment has not failed and has not changed, but what about if there was someone who absolutely could not? Because it's not in their character to change. Obviously, I'm talking about God. The Bible clearly tells us that God is strong, that God is proven, that he's trustworthy, that he's permanent, that he is a word that theologians use. He is immutable. It means he is unable to mutate. He is unable to change. Not only has God not changed, God is not able to change. And so we can put our confidence in a God who is unchanging. Not just in a God who hasn't changed. We've met people. We were home for Christmas and we meet people and we said, "My, they haven't changed a bit." Well, they have, yes. But people can change, but God cannot. It's not just what God does, it's who he is. And you see, it's understanding who God is that's the key to us facing a new year. Not just understanding what he does. We need to understand that what God does is because of who he is. Might sound like I'm splitting hairs here, but there is a very important difference. If we simply focus on what God has done and what he does, oh, God has loved me, God has provided for me, then we may come to the conclusion that, you know what, it's a good bet, but we're still leaving our minds open that what about if he doesn't do it this time? What about because he has loved me, what about if he doesn't love me in 2025? But if God is love, then he has to love me. If God is grace, then I will be experiencing his grace. Knowing that he hasn't changed is good, but knowing that he cannot change is even better. Because someone who can't change is someone that we can anchor to. An Old Testament prophet by the name of Daniel clued into that reality. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 32, the Revised Standard Version says this: "The people who know their God will display strength and they will take action." The King James Version that some of you may remember and be more familiar with says, "The people who know their God will be strong and they will do great exploits." Daniel realized that it's knowing who God is that gives us confidence in what he will do, not vice versa. It's not experiencing God's faithfulness and then determining that he's a good God. It's knowing that he's a good God and then we can determine that he will be good to us. Knowing that God is unchanging, that he's unable to change, is a great knowledge for us as we enter a new year. As I said, theologians call it immutability. Doesn't just mean that God hasn't changed, means he's unable to. Things change. But once we grasp the fact that God is unable to, it helps us as we face the future. I just want to read this one verse from the book of James. James chapter 1, verse number 17, tells us this: "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." This verse testifies to the immutability of God. It testifies to the fact that God cannot change. James talks about the shadow of turning, one translation says, that with it, God, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The NIV that I read says he does not change like shifting shadows. James is referring to the changing of the sun. And the sun changes and it casts shadows. At certain times of the year, the sun comes up earlier and goes down later, and other times of year it comes from one pole, or it's not the word I'm looking for, but one part of the world, and then it sets in the other, and so on. But with God, there is no changing. We have a daughter who lives in the Yukon, and we've been up to the Yukon in the summertime, and I have a picture on my phone that I show people. It was taken at midnight in Dawson City at midnight, and it's almost as clear as it is here this morning because the sun changes, and this time of year up there in the Yukon, it doesn't get daylight till dinner time, till lunchtime. And so the shadows and the seasons change. But with God, there is no change. God doesn't go from one tropic to the other. He doesn't have more light at certain seasons and less light at another season. And while we face seasons that feel darker or seasons that feel brighter, with God, there is no variableness. He doesn't get less or more at certain times of year or at certain times of our lives. God has no variableness. He's the same, the Bible says, yesterday, today, and forever. I think our problem sometimes is that when we read the Bible, we realize we're reading about a different day. We read characters from the Old Testament in particular and how God met them, and we feel like we're reading something from a different day, which we are. A different culture, a different time, different values, and so on. We read about God's faithfulness to men like Abraham and David, how God provided manna in the desert. We read the New Testament stories of Jesus providing food to thousands of people on just one simple lunch that a boy had. And we think, yeah, but we're in a different day. It's a technological age now. It's different now. And our question sometimes is, can we experience that kind of faithfulness from God in our day? And what we really need to lock ourselves into is that while the calendar changes from 2024 to 2025, and while so many other things will change, no doubt in 2025 there will be a lot of change for us, probably politically and in many other ways. But yet the one thing that doesn't change is that God remains exactly the same. The same God who provided manna in the desert, the same God who led his people through a sea, the same God who rose Jesus from the dead is the exact same God that we serve entering 2025. And when we grasp that, then it helps us as we face the future. We sang this morning, and as I said to you over Christmas, we don't get our theology or our beliefs from our hymns or our songs, but they express what we believe. And we sang this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." It comes from that, the writer of that beautiful hymn came from this scripture, "There is no shadow of turning with thee." We sang, "Great is your faithfulness." We sang, "He is unchanging." So many of these choruses and songs that we have grown up with and are sung today are based on our experience of a God who has not changed and cannot change. You see, what causes things to change? Time changes things. As I said, we saw some friends and we were back home for Christmas, and time had changed some things with them. But God does not change by time, because with God there is no time. There is no beginning and no ending with God. And so time cannot change God, because God is always present. The Bible tells us from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He is eternal. The Bible says in the beginning was God. And God, time does not change him. There is no improvement with God. There is no decline with God. An author by the name of A.W. Pink said this: God cannot change for the better because he is already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. And so time does not alter God. There is no change. Usually we change with time. Usually we change with new information. DNA. I've watched some of these criminal investigation shows where someone was accused of a murder, and then 25 years later, new technology. DNA testing has proven that this person did not commit this murder, and they're released and so on. Time, new information, but with God, there is no information. The Bible says that God is all-knowing from the beginning to the end. God is, another big word, God is omniscient. He knows everything. So there's no new information with God where God says, oh, you know what, I thought that was the best thing for you, but now I've learned, now medicine has improved, or now new technology has helped me figure something out. With God, there is no need to change because God does not need information. And so time cannot change God. He cannot improve or decline. No new information can change him. God is unable to change. His character is unable to change. Think of everything that you know about God. That he's merciful, that he's loving, that he's true, that he's just, that he's good, that he's faithful. That's who he is. That's not just what he does. That's his character, and his character cannot change. He's perfect in all of these things. He cannot get better at them, and he cannot decrease. So in 2025, we can trust his character. In 2025, we can trust his word. His word has not changed. Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And today we have the Word revealed to us in flesh, and we have a record of his truth, a record of his promises, a record of his oaths and his commitment to us, and his Word is unable to change. And so we can face a possibly changing year knowing that we can trust this book that has never and will never change. We can trust that his purposes won't change. God may act in different ways toward us, but his purposes for our lives cannot change. Why do we change plans? We make plans and then they change. Why? Something unforeseen happened. We had to modify some plans even in a short trip for Christmas with family because things happened that you weren't expecting, so things had to get changed to another day or whatever. Things change when the unforeseen happens and we modify, but with God, nothing is unforeseen. Nothing is ever unforeseen with God. He is all-knowing, and so his purposes will never change. God doesn't say plan B for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and his purposes for you will never change. His purposes are for good, and they will not change. Despite history, despite its changes, despite our rebellion, God still has a determined purpose for our lives. He sent his son so that we would have that. And lastly, as we face 2025, we know that we can trust in his son. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. God's purposes in Jesus are still in effect. His word cannot change. His plan cannot change. His son cannot change. When we reflect on all that God has done and his faithfulness, it brings us encouragement. But when we anchor into the fact that not only has he not failed us yet, but that he cannot change and that he cannot fail, then we can put great faith and confidence in the year ahead. And so as we begin a new year of opportunity, a new year of change, a new year of challenge, there's a lot of things that I can't tell you and can't guarantee you. But one thing I can is that God, his word, his purposes, his plan, and his son will never change, and you can anchor yourself to that. God, we stand here this morning on the promise and the assurance and the confidence of your word that you are a God who was, you are a God who is right now and is to come. And so, Lord, we stand on that confidence, not our own. You've blessed this church with great leaders, great people. Lord, you've blessed this church in so many ways, but we can't stand on our own confidence. Lord, we've just celebrated 100 years of your faithfulness, but this is a new year, and we can't depend on our track record, but we can depend on you. And so, Lord, we lay everything at your feet, every ministry, every activity that this church will participate in, every time we meet together, every time we meet separately. Lord, everything we do, we want to commit it to you because we know that we can do nothing of ourselves. Lord, our confidence is in you. You cannot change. And so, Lord, that excites us as we face this new year because there will be new miracles, new doors will open. Lord, we just thank you for that. And so we just pray this morning, as has been shared by a few people from our church, that this would be the year, Lord, when prayers would be answered, prayers that we have prayed. Lord, this would be the year for a miracle for Kinsley. Lord, that this would be the month, this would be the day. Lord, as we begin this new year, we continue to pray for that little girl. Lord, we pray for Judy Bolesky today. I pray that you will be with her. And Lord, that you will touch her physically and strengthen her body, that she will experience a miracle from the same God that we read about doing miracles in our Bibles. Lord, we pray for others who are experiencing physical and different difficulties right now, Lord, that they would just anchor in you. And Lord, we continue to pray for your nearness. Lord, you're not a God who's far away. You're a God who came near. That's what we just celebrated, that you came near to us. You wanted to live with us and among us and be one of us. And so, Lord, may we experience that, not only when we gather together, but, Lord, when we do gather together, we pray that this would be a year that we would just experience your presence in a deeper, Lord, more tangible way. But, Lord, that we would experience your presence individually as well. Lord, that we would stand strong as the enemy pushes against us. Lord, as culture pushes against us, that we would stand strong on your word and be people of faith. Lord, I love the prayer that Jaden shared, that we would love people as you loved us. Lord, you loved us unconditionally. You loved me despite my sin and my fault and my shortcomings. Lord, I pray that I would love others despite theirs. Lord, we pray for healing. Healing for relationships. Healing, Lord, for minds. Healing for bodies. Lord, we pray for growth, not just numerically, but, Lord, growth, that we would grow deeper in you. And, Lord, that everyone who needs to experience your presence would feel accepted by you and accepted by this church family. And so, Lord, we start this year. We know there's change. We know there's uncertainty. We know there's going to be things that are going to shock us and surprise us, catch us off guard. But Lord, we anchor ourselves to you, and we know that that's more than enough. And so we thank you for this morning we've had together as we begin this year. Lord, I just pray your blessing upon every person, and may the desires of their heart, Lord, that they have brought to this altar this morning for themselves, for their families, for their church, or for their country, or whatever the case is, Lord, I pray that those desires would be granted. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone together, amen. So be it. God bless you.